It's kind of easy to pray at bedtime, Lord, please bless all the poor people. But is there any way for the Holy Spirit to bless all the poor people except through generous friends like you? Do we sometimes expect God to do our jobs? Stay tuned. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenneth Richards with a big thanks to each of you for joining us today. If you've been with us all this week for Lonnie's series, Bossing the Holy Spirit, I know you've enjoyed his very thought-provoking presentations, and we still have today and tomorrow to share with each of you a copy of his book, A Suitcase Full of Faith. Why not jot down this toll-free request line and let us mail you a complimentary copy? Here it is, 1-800-872-0055. That's 1-800-872-0055. More details at the close, but right now let's join Lonnie for today's message, Ducking Our Duty on Death Row.
A wonderful book came into our Voice of Prophecy offices just recently. Written by a Catholic nun, Sister Helen Prejean, it's entitled Dead Man Walking and tells of her personal experience being a spiritual advisor to several men on death row at Angola, the Louisiana State Penitentiary. Many of you are no doubt aware that actress Susan Sarandon received an Oscar Award just a few weeks ago for her portrayal of this Christian woman. And the Religious Public Relations Council, whose award program is chaired by our own writer-producer David Smith, honored the film as the very best of 1995. Now, this best-selling author describes the wrenching story of dealing especially with two condemned men, Patrick Saunier and Robert Lee Willey, and also with the families of their victims. But early in Chapter 1, she describes her childhood and her upbringing, and how God began to bring into her heart a realization of all the hurt in the world, the racism, the crimes and murders, the hopelessness in the ghettos where she worked as a nun and social worker. And on page 11 is the line that strikes deep into our hearts, especially with our topic of this week. Listen, "Even the way I pray is changing," she writes. "Before, I had asked God to right the wrongs and comfort the suffering. Now I know, really know, that God entrusts those tasks to us." Well, friend, that gives us something to think about, doesn't it? We've been saying one thing all week long as we study our relationship to the Holy Spirit. Here it is again. We are not to use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to use us. And this dedicated Christian worker has both discovered and exemplified this truth in her own life. The Holy Spirit is to use us. All this week we've been reading Bible verses that indicate the Holy Spirit's role in our world. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, Christ himself plainly states that the Holy Spirit is his representative here on earth. No human man or woman is to occupy the place of Christ. That, friend, is the role of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to these words from Jesus himself. "It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor or helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And Christ goes on in verses 8 and 9 to tell us how the Holy Spirit will convict men of sin and guilt and judgment, as we mentioned in our radio study yesterday. But the point to key on today, Thursday, is that the Holy Spirit is given to us as Christ's representative. The work that Christ began, he continues. The types of laboring Jesus did, the Holy Spirit carries on. But of course, he can only carry it on through human hands and hearts. Let me ask you a question. Friend, if Jesus Christ were here in the flesh in 1996, would he serve those involved in the tragedy of prison executions? Would he minister both to the inmates on death row and also to the grieving families whose precious children were slain by those about to go to the electric chair or the lethal injection gurney? You see, one of the hardest lessons Sister Helen Prejean had to learn was that God was calling her to touch the lives on both sides of this agonizing judicial battle. At first, she was vehemently anti-capital punishment, and she still is today. But after a wrenching confrontation with the families whose teenagers were murdered by Pat Sonier and his brother Eddie, she wrote, and I quote, "How could I be so naive? Despite my failure to talk to the LeBlancs and the Bourquets, I still want Pat to live. I feel I am still right to oppose capital punishment, but I had not thought seriously enough about what murder means to victims' families and to society. I had not considered how difficult the issue of capital punishment is. My response had been far too simplistic." Now, in the film version, where the two inmate stories are blended into one, a fictional Matthew Poncelet, Helen stays by his side right to the very end, where for the first time he confesses his horrible sins and accepts the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on his behalf. "Matthew Poncelet, you are a son of God," she tells him at the very end. And friend, that is the ministry of Jesus Christ, now carried on through the Holy Spirit through human hands. And she also is used by the Holy Spirit to comfort the parents whose nightmares continue year after year despite the emotional closure that an execution sometimes brings. You know, friend, it's easy to criticize those who flamboyantly try to use the Holy Spirit. We complain, and maybe rightly so, about their loud so-called healing services and all the glittery jewelry and the profits and the scandals. And of course, when someone of that stature is caught with a prostitute, we say, "See, we told you so. Was that person being used by the Holy Spirit? No way." And yet, as we consider the work of Jesus Christ among the poor, the disadvantaged, the physically and spiritually lost, the men and women in the inner bowels of death rows everywhere, we have to ask ourselves, I have to ask myself, am I allowing the Holy Spirit to use me? No, we don't all have the gift of prison ministry. We aren't all of us situated where we can labor in the inner cities. But one thing is true for sure. God needs you to do something. He needs me to do something. He has some ministry in mind, some way, somewhere, where he wants us to be used by his Holy Spirit, who gave us the gifts in the first place. You know, I like how in the book of 1 Corinthians 3, Verse 9, Paul says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." In the King James Version, it's said this way, "We are laborers together with God." Now, just a few verses later, Paul reminds us that, friend, you and I are dwelling places for the Holy Spirit. We're God's temple. Sometimes we think that's just a reminder to live healthy lives and not drink or smoke. But friend, the implications are much more far-reaching than that. Listen, the Holy Spirit dwells in us in order to do his work through us, which is specifically the work of Jesus Christ. That's both a sobering and thrilling thought, isn't it? I think about the fact that this one Christian woman, Helen Prejean, became kind of famous because of her work. She sat there in the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion during Oscar night last March 25, and millions heard her name. Her book has hit the bestseller list, and she's received awards all around the world. But in quiet communities and soup kitchens and invisible prison corridors everywhere, others are doing the work of Jesus without headlines, friends, and without notice. They're doing it simply because the Bible tells us to do it. They're doing it because Jesus did it. They're saying to the Holy Spirit, "Use me." Friend, if your Bible is still opened, come back with me to the book of Matthew, where our Lord is talking to 12 very ambitious men who surely wanted to receive Oscar Award statues for their work. Peter, James, and John, and the other 9 disciples were grasping, selfish men who wanted the top spot and headlines in God's kingdom. And they were willing and eager to use Jesus, to use the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the miracles of Jesus in order to help themselves. And then Jesus looked right into their eyes and said this, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then over in the book of Philippians, in one of the Bible passages that Ken and David and I love the most, Paul writes this about the life of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So there we have it, friend. You see, if we truly follow the example of Jesus Christ, we'll be servants. We'll be used by the Holy Spirit to serve, to get our hands dirty and our hearts bloodied. And no matter how tired and weary we get, when we get down on our knees each night, we'll ask the Holy Spirit for a new assignment for tomorrow. Inside the front cover of this great book, Dead Man Walking, are reviews reprinted from several major newspapers, and the one that caught our eyes was from the Los Angeles Times, which described Sister Helen Prejean's story this way. An intimate meditation on crime and punishment, life and death, justice and mercy, and, above all, Christian love in its most all-embracing sense.
What a challenge we face, Lonnie, as we consider those words. Christian love in its most all-embracing sense. Friend, we'd like to mail you a gift copy of a book that will provide valuable instruction on the issue of a vibrant trust relationship with God. Here's the title, A Suitcase Full of Faith, and it's by our own Lonnie Meloshenko and David Smith. For your free copy, write to us here at the Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Remember to ask for A Suitcase Full of Faith. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. And yes, you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. Now let's return to Lonnie Meloshenko for a closing word.
Thanks so much, Ken. Well, we have one more day to go, and tomorrow we'll ask the question, do we want the Holy Spirit to answer our prayers our way or the way He knows is best? Here's our Friday title, Begging God for the Wife I Want. By the way, we'd love to send you this free book, A Suitcase Full of Faith. It's yours on a complimentary basis, but if you can include a gift along with your request or your prayer concern, we'd be very grateful for your help. The Voice of Prophecy is a listener-supported faith radio ministry. That means we depend completely upon people like you who follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Until tomorrow, then, this is Lonnie Meloshenko, together with Kenneth Richards, reminding you, friend, that it's always true. Yes, God loves you.
Sometimes being a missionary is just plain funny. When Ty and Tina Teal were summoned by the mayor, their minds went into overdrive. What had they done wrong this time? Had they parked their vehicle in a bad spot? Were the women in the village upset because Ty had emptied the well first thing in the morning a couple of days ago? Or worse, had they unknowingly violated some local taboo? When the mayor informed them of the reason for the summons, they almost burst out laughing. Tina remembers playing it as a newspaper headline in her mind. White man and pregnant wife move into the bush of Africa, spend 1 year learning the language, then start mining gold. The Teals spent the day responding to government inquiries. The village elder, the district supervisor, and the regional governor all needed to hear for themselves about the alleged gold mine. The next day, the Teals were approached by three men who asked to get in on the ground floor of their operation. Gold mining? No, these men wanted in on the diamond operation. This time the Teals didn't even try to hold their laughter. The missionaries were looking for gold and diamonds, all right. Heavenly gold, celestial jewels, human treasure for the kingdom of God. For the Voice of Prophecy and Adventist Frontier Missions, this is Jan Judd.